the question was asked. In one place, the Torah says, in numerous places actually, the Torah says, we have a commandment, "Avtem tager," to love the stranger who lives amongst us. And yet we have a commandment to fight till the end, the nations, the seven nations in the land of Israel. So the first thing we have to know is that when the Torah uses the term ger in the translations, so they sometimes translate it as a stranger. But in fact, there are two terms of ger in Torah. There's what we call a ger toshav, and there's a ger tzedek. Okay, the term ger in that context is a ger tzedek. It's talking about a person who decided to become Jewish, to convert to Judaism. And there we have multiple commandments in the Torah to give them preferential treatment, to treat them extra special. So in fact, it's not really a contradiction, just because here we're talking about someone who accepts all the mitzvot, and then even if he's from Amalek, we have a mitzvah to love him. You know, our arch enemy, but if he wants to convert to Judaism, we have a tradition that amongst the greatest sages of Israel were people who were descendants of Amalek. Haman's descendants sat on the high court of Israel. Okay, so that's our tradition, that even the people who were so vile, who wanted to annihilate us, can still have tremendous potential. There was a story here in Israel a number of years ago that there was a synagogue where they discovered that one of the members of the synagogue was a grandson of Nazis. And the people in the synagogue got very upset. And I got upset at the people of the synagogue, because it's just imbecilic. It's completely contradictory to Torah. The Torah says that a person can convert, and then you have mitzvot to love him more than you have mitzvot to love your fellow Jew. So that's what the Torah is talking about when in that context. Our tradition, I'm saying the words, well, if you look at the words of our tradition, then you're right. The question is glaring. So that's number one. But number two, we would benefit also from analyzing that commandment with regards to the nations of the land of Israel. So there are multiple levels here. Number one, the Bible is careful to point out to us that there was one enemy of King Solomon's who had a child who went out to Egypt, who developed, amassed an army, and slowly was able to come back and become the great nemesis of the Jewish people. And the Bible reiterates the dangers of conquering a land and leaving behind people who will ultimately come back to haunt you. If you read Josephus, you find that the same was true in the days of the patriarchs and then in the days we were down in Egypt. In Josephus, he records that there were world wars against the Jews in Egypt. That in fact, Esau's descendants were able to amass armies in northern Africa. And as we began our period in Egypt, we had to contend with Tsipho. He was a general, a descendant of Esau's, the son of Eliphaz, a grandson of Esau's, who actually amassed armies and tried to annihilate us in Egypt. Here we left them alone. We were exiled in Egypt. It didn't help us any. So there is a danger of arch enemies. And nonetheless, the Torah says that when we come to the land of Israel, we first come with peace. We first offer the people, do you want to make peace? We don't open with war, even though we recognize the threat of leaving them around. We say, do you guys want peace? And our tradition is that that's exactly what was done. It was done when Joshua came, he sent in a letter, and he asked them, what do you guys want? You wanna leave? You can leave, and we won't fight. You want to stay? So then you have to accept the Noahide laws, and you'll pay taxes. You want to fight? So then we'll fight. He gave them three choices. He sent a letter, and he told them you have to choose which way you want to have it. One nation called the Girgashi traveled southward to Africa. And our tradition is that God foresaw that part of the Canaanites, that one tribe of the Canaanites, would leave Israel. They would say, if God told you could have this land, we're not arguing. And that's why throughout the Torah, the land is called the land of Canaan. Even though our tradition is that Canaan did not have rightful claim to the land. When Noah divided the world between his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet, He gave Shem the land of Israel. It was the descendants, the Semites, the descendants of Shem who were supposed to have this territory. Then Ham's son, Canaan, amassed an army and kicked out his relatives from this territory. So technically the Torah should not have named this territory the land of Canaan. So if you want to take a simplistic approach, so then the word Canaan also means merchant. And the land was actually on the trade route. So you can call the land of the traders. Not A-I-T, but A-D-E, traders, yeah? Okay? The land that's on the trade route, which the land of Israel always was, in between three continents. But our tradition is that the Torah does not call it Canaan because the word Canaan means merchant, but rather it was a way of showing the appreciation, so to speak, that there was one nation, the Girgashi, who said, if God told you you can have this land, we're not going to stand in your way. And they traveled down to Africa. And that's why Hashem said, I will name the land after Canaan, even though technically Canaan doesn't have a right to the land. So when we approached the land of Israel, we gave them those three choices. There were those among them who did choose to become Ger Toshav. And that's the other term of Ger that we encounter, which is a Ger who is not a Jew, but he's accepted the seven Noahide laws. And that's where the Torah says, if you have meat that's not kosher, Lager asher bisharecha titenena va'achala. Give it to the stranger among you. Who are we giving it to? Who's the stranger? I thought we're not allowed to have strangers here. I know the Torah was talking. It can't be a convert. A convert's obligated by the Torah. He's not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. So there you see, the Torah said, give preferential treatment to a non-Jew who has stayed among you and keeps the Noahide laws. You slaughtered an animal. Turned out your shechita wasn't kosher. You see, the animal's not kosher. You end up with a carcass. What do you do with it? Give it as a gift. Torah says, titinena, give it as a gift. Show preferential treatment. He's living among you. He's keeping the Noahide laws. Give him that preferential treatment. So that's the concept we have with the Ger Toshav. On the other hand, those who chose to fight us, so the Torah says, recognize the threat. If they've chosen to fight you, then fight them to the end, because if you don't fight them, they will ultimately fight you. But again, they were given a choice beforehand, and they knew full well what their choices were. So that's an overview of the two terms of ger in the Torah, and the idea that ger gets preferential treatment, be it a ger tzedek, who keeps all the mitzvot, or a ger toshav, a non-Jew who chooses to stick around. We also discussed the three choices they had, and the reason why the land was called Canaan, right? So we covered a few topics here.